The closer I came to Paris, the more speedy I drove. And I drove very slowly back. And my parents never understood. They said, can you not go to another city? You always go to this Paris. I said, I can't help. Just something pulling me there. So I knew Paris very well. And then father came with this idea. I volunteered to go to France. But because I was so young in this movement, a little more than 1 year, many of the leaders also in the world, they wrote letters to father. He's too young, he will never make it, he will disappear, don't do this, and no. But somehow I could win the heart of father that he gave his okay. You just go. And I was so happy. So in 1966, not knowing French language, just having one book translated, Divine Principle, which I couldn't read. Later on we discovered many, many mistakes. We gave this book to somebody to translate. So I went to Paris. And there are many, many experiences which I went through. And perhaps I choose two experiences. One sad one and one happy one. First of all the time in Paris, in these first years, actually from 66 to 69, in these first 3 years, I never also later on experienced so many spiritual guidance as in this time. This was a very particular time. So these 3 years actually formed my deep understanding of God and my deep life. Because I was alone. I was completely alone, physically. Then, the year 67, I think for all of us, have been the most difficult year in the world in Unification Church. Many, many members left at this year. Also, we didn't know why. Just 4 months later, in 68, we learned there was the fulfillment of the Father's 7-year course and the declaration of the God's Day. But we had no idea that there would be 3 blessings at this time. We had only learned about 1 blessing. Father never spoke about 3 blessings. Just after the 68. But also, Paul, lots of people in trouble because they thought, why suddenly there are 3 blessings? So anyway, in this time, 66 and 67, all the members in the church, they went through enormous difficulty. And my difficulty was this. I worked in a hotel as hotel manager, hotel with 23 rooms, preparing the breakfast, making reservations, clearing up the money and everything in this hotel. I had a very tiny little room and had to work every day, 7 days a week. My salary per month had been $10. And from this $10 I had to pay 12 meals, because 12 meals were not included in my working time. And they gave me a tiny little room. I think Doris Orme knows this room. She visited me one day in this room. So, I worked in this hotel. Actually, I could only witness from 10 or 7 in the evening on until 2 o'clock in the morning about. And the hotel was near the university, so there were many young people at this time active in the night. So I started usually 11:30 or 12 o'clock in teaching the people. One day, following thing happened. I was standing in the kitchen and preparing the coffee and the breakfast for all the people. And suddenly, I lost completely conscious. I fell down, and about 2 days later, I woke up. Somebody brought me in my room. And at that time, I could not remember anything. One eye looked in this direction, the other eye looked in this direction. I was completely paralyzed. I didn't know whom I am. Just one word. I could remember. One in one single word, two parents. And with lots of effort, hours and hours, a little bit came back. Why I am in Paris? What I'm really doing here? But a memory, I could not even speak the words. Nothing works. So then, with lots of effort, I felt somehow I have to tell this somebody. And I found the paper with the telephone number in Germany. So I went down with all my effort on the street, and across the street there was the post office, the telephone. But it took me, I don't know, 1 hour and a half or 2 hours to cross the street, because I could not more measure the speed of the cars. So, now, no, better not. So, and this goes over 1 hour. Then I went to the post office, and I couldn't tell the lady what I wanted, just showed her the paper. And somehow, with some heavenly guidance, I could form some words. And I spoke then to Peter Koch in Germany, and they realized immediately something is wrong with this boy. What's happening? So then, they organized that I was brought by train back to Germany. But Peter Koch, this was the first time in his life, he didn't know what to do with such a thing. Nobody knew. You know what he did? He informed Father in Korea. Father, what shall we do? This happened to this boy. Now we bring him back to Germany and we will see. So then the entire Korean family, they made some condition. But I had absolutely no idea. All the German family had no idea what's going on. So I went to the best doctor in Frankfurt, and he examined me, and he couldn't find out what is this. What shall I tell you? Exactly after 10 days. After 10 days. I woke up in the morning. Everything normal. Nothing wrong. Everything completely normal. I was jumping on the ceiling. Boy, I go back to Paris and I write a wonderful letter to Father. And the next day, I went back to Paris. And I wrote a long letter to Father. Thank you for your wonderful, deep help. I will work harder than ever to go on. But this was actually one very personal experience. How Messiah more or less saved my life. So then I went on, and did Mr. Blanchard told you how he met me? Little bit, huh? Now I will tell you a little from my side, then you have the complete picture. You know, I did all kind of things in this interesting Paris, especially I became a teacher for German language. And I had some industrial people which paid me very well, so I could save some time. And one evening, I just finished my lecture, and this one evening, I went out on the street, back to the tube station, and on the way to the tube station, as so many times, the spirit world came to me and told me, tonight, you are not going home. And I talked many times with the spirit. I said, yes, I'm going home. I'm tired. Can you not see this? The spirit came back, no, you're not going home. I was really struggling and fighting. I can you not see that I worked so hard all day? Why you want to, again, lead me someplace? Lead me tomorrow someplace. Tonight, it's too late. I don't like to go now. I'm really tired now. Then, for a while, I walked towards the tube station. But nothing happened. Shortly before the entrance, the same voice came back. You are not going home tonight, is it clear? Okay, it's clear. I was really unhappy. Then I was standing there and praying. What now? I'm ready to go, but you must really tell me where I have to go. So I looked over the name stations, huh? I changed the tube, which street to go, exactly. I will not tell you details, just overlook. So I came to this place. Went out, nobody. I looked left, I looked right,
And I said to the spirit world, you see, I told you it's not good tonight. Nobody here. Then a very friendly spirit came to me and said, not yet the right place. You go down, you turn right, there is a student center, and there you find one person. He looks so and so.
Okay. Also this I will do, but if then nothing happens, I go home. I told the spirit world.
One thing more, but not more. So I went down, turn right, come to this house. Turn right, come to this house. On the entrance, only one person. Exactly as the spirit will describe. Oh boy. Somehow, huh? Spirit world is good. So, what to do? He was standing there. I was standing there. Then I saw a little automat with lemonade. Okay, I said, can you change me some money? Oh, yes, sure. Oh, to put in, get some lemonade. This was the end of the conversation. He looked at me, I looked at him, and we started. Oh, he said, you're German. I always wanted to learn German language. Oh, yes, I said, you can learn with me. Even I give free lessons. Yes? Oh, German language, that's a good idea. Then I said, why are you here? He said, actually, I don't know. Something strange happened to me tonight. I never wanted to come to this place, but 4 or 5 years ago, I knew a girl. And this girl, this was in some folk dancing circle group in the evening. And tonight, the idea came, perhaps after 4 or 5 years, perhaps I can see this girl again. She's there, up someplace up. I thought, oh boy, Satan, you are so clever. And at this moment, this girl really came. I thought, oh boy. Spirit God has prepared so wonderful, and then this impossible, terrible girl must come. And he was very nice, and he was very happy to see her, and I said, okay, that's my address. Anyway, they left, and I went home. I felt, yeah, that's another case. So many people I have already met, one more, who knows. So I didn't pay very much attention. But the spirit world worked with Mr. Blanchard so strongly, before visiting me, you know what he did? He took a cold shower, took his good clothes on. He did not know why, but he felt, I am going to some very special meeting. He didn't know what he did. So he went, he came in time. This was actually the first time a French person really came in time. Usually I expect 1 hour later. This is my normal expectation. No? If you say to somebody 7 o'clock, this means 8:30, no? So you can good calculate to be there 8:30, that's just fine. So, but to me, spirit world taught me this time you have to be really in time. He comes. He comes 1 hour later. No, he comes in time. And he came. And I had very little boards with the three stages and the history and the four position on some boards in my room. My French was very terrible, just a little. He sat down and I taught him at least 4 minutes German. I think this was the first 4 minutes I ever told him in my life. He was listening a little bit, speaking some sentence, looking at these boards. And he was fascinated. Jeffers said, I gave him a book, Divine Principle. I was just sitting and praying. And actually, this impossible translation book, A Thousand Mistakes, he studied, looked, asked me questions, some little with English. Then he said, can I come back? Sure. He came exactly in time back. Again, well dressed, took a shower before, several times. And then, you know, the German family always send every 3 months somebody to see if I'm still alive. So, and at that time, this was the turn on the person who is today my wife. So, she was sent, and she came, and at that time, Henri Blanchard was studying Divine Principle. So then I said, you know, you just stay here until he accepts Divine Principle. She was very surprised. I said, I must go back to work. I said, you don't have to go back to work. That's the first person we have to bring him through. So then she did the cooking and all kind of things. And I was praying and teaching. And after just a few more days, he accepted Divine Principle. So then became the first member. Now, I will tell you one more little story. I'm sure Mr. Blanchard will get angry if you know this, but anyway, you should know the entire truth. You know, he was studying theology before, and he really turned away from this world, and he was living in some youth hostel for about 1 year. So then, when he accepted principle, I said, "Oi, that's just great. You don't know when Father comes. Let's now establish a tiny little center." Oh, he said, "That's fantastic. But, there is a but." I said, "What is the but?" "You know, I just cannot move out of this youth hostel." I said, "Why not? Just a few days." He said, "No. I didn't pay for 1 year the rent." I said, "Only how on earth can you do such a thing?" "It's just physical things, you know." "Just some money." And he said, "I only hope one thing. In the new world, there is no more money." "I hate money." This was the first words he really told me. "I really hate money, and don't come me with money in all my life." What shall I do? You know, there was one lady in America, a French lady, who accepted principle, and who sent me a tiny little money. And I always kept this for the father's coming. And in my work, I got some tips, so I always kept a little money. So I had a little tiny money ready when Father comes to pay him perhaps 4 days a hotel room and some breakfast. This money I had ready. And I determined never and never and never in my life I will use this money for something else. I must be able at least to welcome the Messiah with some little thing. And you know, at a penny, this was exactly the money he didn't pay to this youth hostel. Boy, I think for one entire day I was praying. I went to Holy Ground. "Father, what shall I do? What shall I do? If I use this money, I can really buy him out of this youth hostel. But then if tomorrow Father comes, boy, you have not a penny. What shall I do? What shall I do?" And you know, in the end, I changed my mind, and I think it's the best investment I ever did in my life. So, I invested my entire money. I bought him out of this youth hostel. I really bought him by money. And so, he became the first member. And then when Father returned, you know, I had pledged to Father to have one member when he returns, but you never know when he returns. So when he came, then we were three. His brother and French sister. So we came with four in 1969 to Germany. And I was very happy to present the three to Father. And then, in 1969, I met for the first time Mr. Orme. Before, I never knew him. I knew Mrs. Orme because she visited me once in Paris. But Mr. Orme, I never knew before. And I will give you... You want to hear something from 69?
Yeah.
Then If it takes a little longer, Mr. Suzuki, I get a few minutes longer.
Okay.
He is the boss, though, I must. You see, in 69, something very strange happened to me. The Peter Koch told me, you know, in America, there is some blessing. And possibly in Europe will be also some blessing. And we had to fulfill very exact a condition with the children and many things at that time. Father did not make so many compromises as he made today. But he told me right away, you know, you have all the conditions. I said, Peter, you know, I want to do my mission. I have no interest at all to getting married now, only that you know this. So he was laughing. He said, okay, if you think so. Okay. Anyway, I came to Essen, Germany. Father came. Mother came. Father spoke with me. Long time. And then he said, wait outside. I will talk with you again. And I waited all night. And no talking again. I was very happy. Oh, finally. Very wonderful. I don't want to get blessed now. I don't want to get married now. I just want to do my job. If I'm married and I do my family life and no more mission. This was my understanding at this time. So, anyway, then as we continued to prepare for many things, to prepare for the blessing. And then the father came on a Monday and he was supposed to leave on a Saturday morning. So, until Thursday, nothing happened to me. It was good. On Thursday afternoon, Mrs. Verheyen, some of you may know, she met me in the house and said, hey, you have to go to Father. I said, again, he wants to talk with me? Okay, if he wants to talk with me, okay, I go. No, she said, you should not go alone. I said, what means not alone? Yeah, where is this Barbara? I said, what shall I do with Barbara? In this moment, the door opens. And with big shopping bags, my wife entered. She had no idea what happened now. And I said, you and I, we should come to Father. She looked at me, and I looked at her. I said, I don't know why. And then, on the escalator, there was standing Peter Koch, and he said, it's engagement. Engagement? Just now. Then we went up before Father's door and already seven couples were standing there. I said, no talking, nothing. No, just engagement. So 15 minutes later, we had engagement ceremony. And this was so personal. Not all the couples together, but couple by couple. So actually, I came very close to two parents through this wonderful engagement ceremony. And actually, the French family gained never so quick a member as in this time. So we came to Essen, and 5 days later, we came with four people, and with five, you returned. Mm. So Father was really the quickest witnesser at all. So we gained one member. So this was the story from 69. Naturally, a few days later, we could welcome two parents in Paris at most exciting time. So then, mission went on year by year, more members joined, and exactly 7 years, when I was 7 years in France, every year when I started the mission, we have some little ceremony, nothing special. We come together, have some prayer, and just remember something. And on the seventh evening, 7 years, for the first time, we have been exactly 120. Never so happy. And never everything functioned so well as on this evening. We had never in the 7 years such a high atmosphere. Never. And also we had never such a wonderful prayer as on this evening. All the French members, the older members, they will never forget this evening. And I also not. And in the prayer, everybody received revelation. Me also. our time, my time is over. And you know, next morning, I send Mr. Blanchard to America, next morning, for the 100-day training, first 100-day training, Belvedere. So, in my heart, God made me ready, your time soon is over. But nothing happened, but I knew, I never forgot this. So then, in late summer, we brought 28 French people to America, all together. We brought about 100 in this year, but this was a bigger group. So my wife and myself, we felt, because they cannot speak English, we help them. We go for a few days to America. So then, we brought the people to Father, to Belvedere, and spent some most deepest time with Father. And then one morning, you know, usually several decisive things in my life happen with Father on a breakfast table. Always when Father invites me to a breakfast table, this is an alarm signal for me. Always. But it starts in this Belvedere. One morning, Father invited us on the breakfast table and we talked. He said, you know, I'm doing now this speaking tour. Have you heard about? Oh, yes, Father. And I would like to ask you, if you cannot help me a little bit, just on the East Coast, yeah? Just for the first cities. You know, I do a 21-city tour, just for the first cities. Oh, sure, Father, sure. We must not return right away to France. Everything okay, somehow it will work. Father was very happy, we are very happy. We were thrown in the impossible situation, right away, 60, 70 people. I never have been on a banquet table in my life, and I had to prepare a banquet. I never did such a thing like teamwork, and I had a team with all different nationalities. You know, my first trip was to Philadelphia. New York, Philadelphia takes 1.5 hours. We left in the morning. After a few minutes, I didn't see any van anymore. The first van arrived late in the evening, 10 or 11 o'clock. Because we couldn't read signs. We couldn't read anything. We couldn't speak English. But anyway, they arrived. This was the beginning of the campaign. So we did some cities, and with much sacrifice, I tell you. And after a few cities, Father said, you know, it really would help me a lot if you can help me a little more.
Oh, yes.
Sure, we can do. So then, we helped the entire 21-city tour up to Los Angeles. And at the end, I felt, okay, Father now is sending us back to France. I have to tell you, at that time, I was still responsible for France until 75. So this was 73. Then Father said, no, we want to do a 32-city tour. Can you not help a little more? Oh, sure, everything we can do. So then we went through a 32-city tour. And somehow in my heart I felt, perhaps your return will be delayed. It looks like. At the end of the 32-city tour, Father divided America in 10 regions. And he asked me already, just for a little while, what part of America you love most? Where would you like to work best? And I really love the Northwest, Seattle. Such wonderful area, also spiritually, so wonderful. So I said, Father, if possible, Northwest. So he gave me the Northwest. And then came the Madison Square Garden. And we all felt, all the other European leaders, they all were there. So, Madison Square Garden, then we return back to the European countries. So we prepared Madison Square Garden, and then something extraordinary happened. 1 week before the Madison Square Garden, Father gathered us in his church, and he called all the leaders, and he said, choose your very, very best members. So everybody thought, we want to become number one. We want to become also number one. Boy, who is the best guy? This and this and this. So the very best members, they came in the front. Because everybody wanted to become number one. Then he said to me, now you come and you go with these members to the next city, to Philadelphia, to prepare, because after Madison Square Garden, we come to this place. All the leaders, boy, what I have done. I did the wrong thing. So anyway, I went to Philadelphia, and we put a team together. This became then 300, nearly 300, 480 about. And then Father said, you know, I want to do an 8-city tour. Can you again help me? Okay, sure. We do the 8-city tour. And in Seattle, my beloved city, one morning, Father invited me to the breakfast again. Oh, breakfast. Now we must be careful. Now comes the thing. Now, already before going to the breakfast, I said to my wife, you know, I feel something is coming. I don't know. This morning is something unusual. I went to the breakfast. Father said, you know, as soon you will end in Los Angeles your tour. Oh, yes, I said, Father, sure, just San Francisco and then Los Angeles. Yeah, you know, I would like to bring this team to the Orient. What would you think? Why, I was so surprised and so deeply grateful and honored that Father wanted that I go with this team in the Orient. So we went to Los Angeles and needed about 4 weeks preparation. We had no idea what is the Orient. We had no idea. So we took one jumbo plane, 360 people, New Hope singers, all the equipment along. And we had too much luggage. The airplane had to stop in Hawaii, put some luggage out. The pilot told us, you're just too heavy, people. We will not make it to Tokyo. I'm sorry. Going down, luggage out. And then about 15 minutes before landing in Tokyo, you know, one Japanese sister, one PR sister, was sent to Los Angeles to prepare us, you know, with the visa and passport and everything. The sister came to me and said, Mr. Vincent, I just want to inform you about one thing. I said, what is? Our landing will be very special in Tokyo. I said, what's happening? Yeah, it's better you get ready. Perhaps 1,000 or 2,000 members I have occupied Tokyo Airport to welcome you. Just, it's better you know, huh? Heavenly Father, what's how happened? So we were landing, all the airport full of members, shouting, Monse and everything. Police has completely given up, you know. They did not check our luggage anymore. No custom control. And on the phone, Mr. Kubaki welcomed everybody. Boy, I was so overwhelmed. This was the first moment meeting the Orient. And I think none of us, I think you were with us, no? None of us who were with us will forget this. This took about 2 hours, the welcome. But such warm welcome with brothers and sisters, unknown, first time they saw Western people, couldn't speak English at all, but really one thing, one family. So overwhelming love. The first thing, right away after landing, I felt, you will have one problem in the Orient. And this problem will be how to handle this overwhelming love. This was my first thing I realized. Anyway, then also Mr. Suzuki was there. Suddenly, then the next morning, I think, the next morning we started to organize. And then in this team was put 330 Japanese. So, our members in Japanese together 700. And then, I received the plan, so we go now through several cities, we fill halls, and also in the end, Father will speak in Budokan Hall. So, and then the leaders told me, you just do as you did in America, you have the experience of this campaigning, we just continue here. Now, I have to tell you one thing.
I did so. I organized, I formed teams, I did a meeting,